Whoops. Sorry, I hit your jello. All right. I have a few things to talk to you about before we get into today's message. So next week, of course, being Easter Sunday, and it's also April 1st, which I might have some fun with that. But just want to let you know that we've been fairly full on some Sundays, and so one of the things that we want to do for next Sunday is actually open up the prayer chapel for an overflow next Sunday. So I just want to give you a heads up that if this gets too full, we are going to make that available for people. Okay, the idea isn't to separate; it's to accommodate, and it's not. You know, we don't view it as a long-term solution or anything that's necessarily ideal. We do view it as something that, as we've been full, we're just going to make it available to make sure, right? We don't want to have to turn anybody away. So just wanted to give you a heads up. If you arrive and you happen to be a little bit late, and because that happens to everybody sometimes, right, that may be where you end up. We'll see. The other part is that, of course, next Sunday we do want to do some water baptism. So if you are at all interested, let me encourage you that it's going to happen during the worship service. And we would, if you're scared about speaking in front of people, we would actually like to videotape your testimony. And so that takes the pressure off, I know, for some people. But if you've never been water baptized, let me encourage you to consider that. And the last thing that I would like to talk about this morning is that today is Les Gerlich's 90th birthday. Yeah, right? And that's good stuff. And like the Gerlichs took over the whole middle right there. And well, that's good. Les, happy birthday. You know, if you've never chatted with Les, please make sure that you chat with him. Wish him happy birthday. But Les is, there's a couple things about Les. Les knows the word. Man, does he know the word. And Les is, like, I don't know if you know this, like, you're an encourager. Like, I pray with Les almost every Sunday morning. And I try to, and I try to find him, and he's happy, and he encourages people to know the Lord and to trust the Lord. And so God's just good. And he's been good to you, hasn't he, Les? Yeah? He's been quiet. Now, afterwards, after church today, there is the family's having a party here in the prayer chapel, and we are all invited to celebrate Les's birthday. So God bless you, Les, and I hope you have a great day. All right. That's good stuff. So it is Palm Sunday, as Pastor Daniel mentioned. Now, you've maybe been into churches where they actually give you the physical, like, palm branch, and you wave them around and stuff. And some churches choose to do that. It's meant to be an act of worship, and today that's what we're talking about. We're talking about worship. One time, though, on a Palm Sunday, a family, they're going to church, but their youngest son, he's 5 years old, and he has a very sore throat, and so they have to leave him home. They leave him with a babysitter, and when they get home from church later that day, the family's all carrying the palm branches, and the little boy, he looks at me, he says, "Why have you got those?" And he asks the question. You know, he's a little bit curious and maybe just a touch jealous, so the dad explains, and he says, "Well, you know, that they held them over Jesus' head as he walked by or rode by on the donkey." And the little boy, he looks at them and he says, "Wouldn't you know it, the one Sunday I don't go to church and he shows up." You know, I as the pastor, I always hope that is not your experience when you come to church, right? So today we're going to talk about worship, and in the context of "He is, therefore I am." And worship is something that is foundational in the life of a believer. It's foundational to every aspect of our faith. But worship just simply is what our life is. whether you're a believer or not, and I will talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But the thing for a believer is that worship connects us to the Father, brings us into his presence. It's meant to connect us to him, so because we are created to know him. And so we're meant to connect to him, we're meant to be in his presence, to be with him, to know him in his word and to know his presence, his spirit. Worship is, worship engages every part of us. Worship is meant to engage your mind, and it's meant to engage your physical body, your emotions, and your voice. Singing, of course, which we just did a bunch of, singing is a part of worship, but worship is much more than just singing. Worship involves our attitude. Worship involves when we serve other people. That's a form of worship to the Lord, when we serve others. We are created to worship, meaning that we're all created to serve other people. Worship is a part of serving others. Worship is when we choose faith and trust, even when it's difficult. Do you know that your job, your work, is worship to the Lord? Right, and some of you are like, that can't be true. Right, tomorrow morning when I get up and I'm like not wanting to go, you're telling me that's worship? It's meant to be. It's meant to be worship to the Lord. Our work is meant to be worship to him. Adam and Eve were put here and given jobs to do. Like, they had tasks, they had things to accomplish. Scripture, even in the New Testament, says that God has prepared things for us to do, and that can include our physical, like our earthly job. Work can be worship to the Lord, meaning we're meant to connect to him even through the things that we do, the work that we do. So worship is meant, it's foundational into our life. Everything about your life and your faith can be viewed through the lens of worship. Right? And of course, you know, it's Palm Sunday, and we know that as Jesus entered Jerusalem, they waved the palms as a form of worship, and thinking of him as a conquering king, which of course he was. They just didn't quite understand what that meant. Worship is meant to be so much more than what we do for 30 or 40 minutes together on a Sunday morning. The word worship comes from the word worth-ship. Worth-ship. So today when we're talking about the he is, therefore I am, what we would say is he is worthy. He is worthy, therefore I am a worshiper. So we are worshipers simply because he is worthy, and that's how he's created us. It's how he's designed us. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to get every moment of your life. He's worthy. He's worthy to get every moment. All the really good ones and all the really bad ones. He's worthy to get them. He's worthy that they would be directed towards him. That we can actually bring to him everything that's good about us and everything that is bad. All our failures and shortcomings. I mean, what better way to fix what is broken in you than to connect to the very one who can fix it? And so he encourages us to bring all that we are to him as worship. So let's just go back to the context of work for a moment. If you hate your job, because that happens, right? If you hate your job, getting up every day and going to work, and you feel stuck in that job, begin to offer it to him as worship. And we're going to talk about a pattern for worship here in a minute that will help you in offering, let's say, your work to God as worship. We are meant to bring to him every part of us. Our entire life is meant to worship him. Whether you recognize it or realize it, your life, you are always worshiping something. Whether you recognize it or realize it, your life is always directed towards something. And whatever you direct your life toward, you are worshiping. That's how we're created and made. Now, there is a biblical pattern that we can follow regarding worship, and it's meant to lead us into his presence, to connect us to him, to the Father. The pattern is this. The pattern is thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And maybe. I'm on. Oh. So, there we go. All right. So there's a pattern, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Now, thanksgiving is about acknowledging the goodness of God. Praise is about his greatness, and worship is about his holiness. And we'll break that down this morning. Hebrews 12 and 28 says this. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is consuming fire. So now the words here that say, let us be thankful, the word thankful there is the same word in the original for the word grace. So it's the word charis, where we get the word charity. And so it can also be interpreted as let us be full of grace, or let us be graceful. The fact is this, you know, let us have grace. The fact is that you when you are thankful, you will live in grace. You can't have grace in your life without being thankful. Have you ever noticed that you, when you live in a place of gratitude, when you're working at being thankful in your life? I've noticed this, maybe I'm the only one. I've noticed that when I work at being thankful, that I'm far more gracious with people, with the things about them that annoy me or their shortcomings, or I'm much quicker to forgive, to try and right a wrong on either side when I'm living in a place of gratitude, of being thankful. Thankfulness and grace go hand in hand. They're interchangeable to God. And so we have to practice being thankful. In difficult situations or circumstances, being thankful is the thing that will lead you into the grace of God. So here's the thing for you. Here's like a practical thing that you can take away. If you're having a hard time loving or liking someone, you should begin to be thankful for them. You have to find things sometimes to be thankful for. So if you're having a hard time loving somebody, liking someone, maybe there's a coworker or a boss, or maybe it's somebody in your own family. I noticed the Garrileks are sitting fairly close together, so you're probably okay. Right? But maybe, I mean, you know, there's times where we don't get along. And maybe you're having a hard time liking or loving somebody. And the thing to do that will begin to lead you towards grace for them and for that person and in your relationship is to be thankful for them, to find things, to be thankful for them about. See, grace doesn't just excuse sin. It doesn't just, you know, say, well, I'll just ignore your shortcomings. Grace is actually the power to overcome sin and the shortcomings that we have. Grace heals and fixes the broken parts of us. It doesn't just ignore them. It fixes them. And so if you want to begin to see relationships heal, begin to be thankful for people. Thank God for them. So now we're talking about worship. And so part of the aspect of worship, it says this, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks through him to God the Father. Thanksgiving, right, being thankful, this is a choice that we make. It's a choice. It starts with that. And so we're talking about a pattern that leads us into worship, leads us to connect with the Father. The first step is to be thankful. To give thanks, and that leads us to begins the process of us connecting to the Father. The idea of being thankful is that it's actually meant to take your eyes off yourself or the situation that you're focused on, and you focus them on the Lord, focus them on Christ, on the Father. So it's a refocusing, and thankfulness will do that. It's meant to bring into proper perspective the success and the failures of your life. No accomplishment in our life is so great that God shouldn't receive the thanks for it. And no failure in our life is so devastating, so final, that we aren't invited into his presence still. To find restoration and peace and healing. If our whole life is worship, If everything that we do is somehow a form of worship, whatever it is we're focusing on is the thing we're worshiping. If our whole life is worship, then let me encourage you or challenge you with this, to start each day with being thankful. Before you get out of bed, before your feet hit the floor, begin to thank the Lord for something. Even if it's thanks that I'm alive. Thank you for my family. Thank you. Right? If you're thinking, I don't want to go to work today, begin to thank him for your job. Right, and it'll lead you into places of grace. Practice being thankful. Practice it. It is a choice that we make. So you practice it when things are great, and you practice it when things feel overwhelming. It's a choice that we make, that we do all things in the name of Jesus, and we thank the Father through Jesus. So we need to be thankful. That's the first thing. The second is about praise, and this is Psalm 104. And it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, one of the things that I've noticed in thanksgiving and praise and worship is that they overlap many times, right? They're layered and they kind of interlock and overlap, meaning that it's not like you're into worship and you say, hold on a minute, I can't be thankful because I'm worshiping. I'm no longer in that first stage of being thankful, right? They often mix in together, and that's just fine. The idea of the pattern is to help us recognize if you're having difficulty connecting to the Father, that just begin to practice this. Start being thankful and then begin to praise. Praise is not just the fast songs that we sing. It's not just a time of being excited. It's recognizing the greatness of God. It's the greatness of God. So we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. The idea here is the picture of the temple that they would worship in, right? The gates being the first thing that you would go into, and then the courts being a little bit closer into God, and you enter that with praise, talking about his greatness. Psalm 22 and 3 says, but you are holy, O you are who are enthroned in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. Other versions say, God is enthroned on the praises of his people. God is enthroned on the praises that we offer him. Praise is not just music, the fast songs or the upbeat stuff. Praise is a lifestyle. Praise is something that we can offer at any time and at any moment. Verbalizing the greatness of God in your life. Verbalizing it creates a throne in your heart and in your mind that he is pleased to occupy. Let me ask you, how big's the throne in your heart and mind for him to sit on? See, if you desire more of him, of knowing him, of hearing his voice, of his leading in your life, then you move into praise, into recognizing his greatness. You talk about it, you sing about it, you remind yourself of how great that he is. And the thing is, Hebrews, it says, through him, therefore, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. The thing is, praise, just like thankfulness is a choice, so is praise. These are decisions that we make in leading ourselves, in directing ourselves. You know, I don't know about you, have you ever, whether it's in church or not, have you ever had a moment where you're thinking, I don't want to be thankful. I don't want to praise. I don't want to worship. Because maybe you're having a hard time. Maybe something is very difficult in your life and you're thinking, I don't want to do that right now. And I've even heard people that would then say, well, it would be wrong for me to do it because I don't feel it. And the problem there is that you're letting your feelings tell you what is true. And not without the recognition that you can actually lead yourself in the right direction. So you might be saying the words, you might be saying, God, I thank you, but inside, there's nothing that feels thankful about you. Like there's nothing that feels thankful inside. You know what? Don't let your feelings tell you what the truth is there. Right? You're leading yourself in the direction that you know you should go, which is to be thankful, which is to praise him, to talk about how great he is, even if in the moment something else seems greater. The thing about worship is that worship isn't actually about our feelings. Worship will create feelings. Whatever you decide to worship in life, whatever you're worshiping, you will have feelings about that. Worship will create feelings towards God. We don't respond to God because of our feelings. There's something that's happening in the modern day church where it is about emotions and not just about worship. God is an emotional God. He cares about our emotions. But our job is to bring him what he's worth. He's worthy. Doesn't matter what we think or feel. I've noticed, see, we very much live now in a consumer society, right? We have so many options. And you can get whatever you want. And if a store doesn't have what you want, what do? You leave and you go to another one until you find it. Or you go online now and you find it there. And the thing that I've noticed is that that attitude has crept its way into our worship. And we're like, well, I don't want to be thankful. I don't feel it today. It's not the color that I like. Right? Come on, we do this. The fact is, right, is that he's worthy. Because he's worthy, we worship. It's not about what we like or dislike. It's not about whether we want it or don't want it. We can lead ourselves towards him even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't want it. Do you know, I worship whether I like the song or not, because it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Now, is it easier to worship when it's a song you like? Of course it is. But that's still about me. It's not about him. We should worship whether it's a song we love or a song that we hate. I don't know if I've told you. So in my last church, they liked country, which I just don't get. I mean, like, are you guys sure that you love Jesus? I'm teasing. If you love country, I'll pray for you. the thing was, I was part of the worship team. I led worship every week. And I just happened to have the right voice for the worship, or the country worship songs. So guess who got to sing them all? And they weren't like real country, they were like country-like, and a little bit of bluegrass at times, and which is even worse. And and the thing is, you know, for 5 years I did it, and by the end, I actually, you know what, country can be really fun. I play guitar, right? Country can be really fun to play on a guitar, and it can be really fun to sing. I grew an appreciation for it, and the reason I think I did is because I would even look at my worship band and say, I will worship during this song, whether I like it or not. Because it's not about me, right? Yeah, thank you. But the thing is, that's not just about me. This should be all of our attitudes. We worship. Whether you like the song, whether you like the worship leader or not, it doesn't matter. Because it's not about us. It's about him. He's worthy. And he wants to connect to us. He wants to have his presence come. And so in that, sometimes there is absolutely a sacrifice that we make, a sacrifice of praise, where you say, I don't like this song one bit, but I will still praise you. I will still worship you. You can say it, and it doesn't just apply to what happens for 30 or 40 minutes on a Sunday, because it can apply to everyday life. You can say, God, I don't like this situation or this circumstance. I don't like that my house hasn't sold in 8 or 9 months. I don't like it, but I will still praise him. Why? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Doesn't matter about the situation or the circumstance. He's worthy of my worship and my praise. It's at that moment where it's a choice, it's a sacrifice. And the thing is that a sacrifice will always cost you something. Many, you know, in the Old Testament, sacrifices were offered up, many sacrifices died, had to be put to death. Sometimes that's exactly what needs to happen in our life. We offer up to God our situation, our circumstance. We put to death our own wants and desires, our own preferences for what we like and dislike. And we worship and we praise him. We talk about how great he is. So let me encourage you with this. When you come on a Sunday, come prepared to give thanks. Come prepared to praise him, to worship. Don't wait to see if you like the song. That's the consumer mentality in us. Oh, I'll worship if I like it. We worship him because he's worthy. So come ready, because you know what? He's ready. He's waiting here for us. He's waiting. Think about what he's done for us in his son, right? He's waiting to connect with us, his creation. He desires for us to worship and to praise him. And the thing is, praise involves your whole body. It involves your voice. It involves lifting of hands. You can dance. Honestly, I know that in our North American conservative culture, we're like, what are they doing? They're dancing. But I will say, you are free to dance. You're all like, wait a minute. Now, nobody actually wants to see me dance. That's the truth. But the fact is if you feel like you want to worship the Lord with dancing, you can, right? Talks about worshiping the Lord with waving banners and flags. It talks about clapping, bowing, kneeling. It's meant to involve our body. Sometimes what we do in the physical is a representation of what's happening many times in the spiritual. Sometimes you have to bow, you have to get down on your knees because it's what's happening on the inside of you, between you and God, right? It's the physical representation of what's going on inside your heart. We're meant to praise. We're meant to talk about his greatness. And to lift it up to him. So thanksgiving, praise, and the last one's worship. Worship is acknowledging God's holiness. Now, holiness is to be separate from sin. And so in the context of worship, it's about a place where we connect with the Father. And because he's separate from sin, it's a place that is pure. Because he's separate from sin, when we connect to him, it's a place that's pure. Now, we are cleansed and made pure by the blood of Jesus. That's why we can enter into his presence. Sin gets destroyed in the presence of a holy God. And so we have to be pure to enter into his presence. It's the blood of Christ that does it. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We just sang it this morning, right? But he brings us in. We can go into his presence because of Jesus. But know this, that the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are completely free from any kind of contamination. It's in his presence that you can find pure joy. Could you use some pure joy in your life? It's in his presence that you will find pure love. You'll find complete forgiveness, healing and restoration. You will be fully accepted. He says he adopts us, right? And that his spirit testifies with our spirit that we are his sons and daughters. He doesn't just say, he is holy, he is pure. So he doesn't look at us and say, well, today you're half my son. I'm waiting for you to get the rest right. Right? We can't get it right. That's the whole point of why we need grace. And so he invites us into this place of purity. In that, if you're hanging on to something sinful in your life, you can't come. You won't get all the way in to his presence. He will always, at some point, stop you and say, let's deal with that first. Not because he wants to condemn you, not because he wants to reject you, because he desires the best for you, because he's good and he's great and he's holy. He desires what's best for us, to bring us into complete freedom. He is completely free. In his presence, right, is holy. It is pure. It is pure freedom in his presence. It's us that put all the hang-ups on freedom, not him. We are meant to be completely free in him. You can be in his presence anywhere. It's always available to us. It's always open to us. It's about our awareness, our availability, and knowing him. Psalm 95 says this. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with a song of thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it by his command, and with his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker in reverence, praise, and prayer." Worship is an attitude that we take in life. It's meant to infiltrate every area of our existence. Our work, our relationships, our time, our money. It's all meant to be worship. All of it. And whether we realize it or not, we are always in an act of worship. A fella, an English pastor, he's gone now. His name was William Temple. He wrote this about worship. He says, "For worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by his holiness, the nourishment of mind with his truth, the purifying of the imagination by his beauty." The human imagination was given to us by God. We're meant to use it for God, and he desires to purify it, that the things that we imagine would be for him, to him, and for him. Purifies the imagination by his beauty, the opening of the heart to his love, the surrender of will to his purpose, and all of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable, and therefore the chief remedy for that self-centeredness which is our original sin and the source of all actual sin. You want to be free from the things that seem to, Scripture talks about, that easily entangle us? If you want to be free, begin to worship. Thank him for his freedom. Thank him for what Jesus has done. Praise him for his greatness, that he's able to do it in you. And then worship him in his holiness and realize that he's desired to make you pure just as he is. So, in a moment, we are going to worship. We're going to put this into practice, and we're going to take a moment or a few minutes, and we're going to sing, because this is the expression when we're gathered corporately, but we can express this at any point in time. Here's what I want to leave you with. If your emotions are stirred in such a way that they're distracting you, right? If there's thoughts or emotions that are draining the joy from your life, or the love from your life, peace. If your thoughts are consumed with the wrong things, right, your circumstances just simply sucking the joy and the peace from your life, worship is the answer. Because worship connects us to the Father. It connects us to him. And the Spirit of God will lead us in that direction. And as we connect to him, we will find what we need. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. If you need joy, that's how you get there. You connect to him. Peace is found in his presence. Love, restoration, forgiveness, wholeness. As you worship in these next few minutes, If there's things in your life that you're like, God, I'm so broken right here, bring that to him. It's a sacrifice then of praise. One of the things that I've often noticed in the Bible around sacrifices is that fire falls on them. I started off reading to you from Hebrews where it says our God is a consuming fire. He desires to consume everything about our life till all that's left is what worships him fully and wholly. Whether you even recognize it or not, that's actually the greatest desire that's within your very being. As soon as you came to Christ, the thing that your heart and mind wanted was to worship him fully and wholly and purely. So I'm going to invite Pastor John, the worship team. They're going to come on up, and we're going to worship. As they come, let's just pray for a moment. Father, thank you. Thank you. Actually, you know what? Let's just begin to thank him. Let's put this into practice even before the... Just begin to thank God. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for what he's done in your life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise and worship involves your voice. It's okay. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God, for your son. Thank you, Jesus, that you saved us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that your mercy never ends. Thank you that you are faithful to all generations. Lord, we praise you. We say that you are great. You are above all, through all, Jesus. And we worship you. God, you tell us to come boldly into your presence, and you swing wide open the doors to us, Lord, and say, come on in. And so, Lord, we do that now. We enter into your presence, and we say, thank you. Thank you that you invite us in. Because in your presence, God, we find everything that we need, everything that we desire, we find in you. Thank you, Lord. We love you. And we come now to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand?